Pesaches. Pasuk says, "V'yosisa es akroshim la'mishkan esrim keresh ulifas negbo teimana." You shall make the kroshim for the Mishkan 20. 20 kroshim on the side of the south. Negba Seimona. Why is there repetition? Negba, the south, Seimona. I don't know why. What is it over here in Rashi? Pasuk Yudches. Lefas, Negba Seimona, Ein Peya Zuloshon Miktsoya, Elo Kolaruch Kuya Peya, Kitaguma Luruch Aver Deroimus. The word Peya, Lefas means the Peya means the side, Negba is the south, Teimona is the south. Isn't it repetitious? Two words which mean the same side. And Rashi, all Rashi over here says, Ein Peya Zuloshon Miktsoya. So the word Peya ordinarily means a corner. Like you give the mitzvah of leket shikcha upeya. Peya means the corner of your field. So over here he's telling us the word over here, peya, does not mean the corner of your field. It means over here the side. On the side, the southern side. And Rashi does not comment as to why it says the word south twice. Negba, Seimona, they both mean the same thing. What is the Targum? The Targum says, V'saved yos dapaya, l'mashkina. You will make a doifen. You will make over here the keresh. For the dapaya l'mashkina asrin 20 dapin 20 dapin l'ruach to the side evar deroima. Okay, I don't know what this means. Let's see over here what it says in the commentator. The commentator says l'ruach kavanos l'shon hamikra l'fas ein perusho l'shon miktsoya elokol ruach kuya peya. Okay, so it seems that Rashi and Unkelis are describing the same idea. It says here the word peya. Peya ordinarily means the corner. The peya is harosh, the corners of the head. You leave over in the field, the corner of the field. So here when it says, you shall make 20 kroshim on the peya, lif'as, negba, semana, it sounds like the corner. That cannot be. So how does the Targum address the unusual word peya? He says it means the ruach. Rashi says, "Ein peya zulushoin miktsoya elo kol haruach kirua peya." Kitargumai. Ah, so Rashi actually quotes the Targum. Leruach evar derum. Okay, so therefore we're focusing here on the word ruach. And over here, Rashi over here is coming to congratulate the Targum and say the word peya here means the ruach. Okay, next. Now, what are these two words? Evar, loshen tzad. V'hu gam loshen hamikra b'shnei evrayim. Ein be'aramis shem kofel l'dorim k'mo sheyesh b'loshen hamikra negba teimana. V'nira she'ever hu targum negba, south. V'tzarchin ma mo'sifa milazu ma'hi chosa b'lodeha. V'nimza she'loshen hamikra negba teimana bo b'kfeilus v'targum amil l'fas bo b'kfeilus ruach. Avar. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, let's read a little bit further. Deroima. Let me just read what it says over here, then I have to go over what it says. I'm crazy. Well, things. Deroima, the Sadi Tachet, Sharak, Sham, Hoya, Rak Sham, Ze, Hoya Noig, Besfas, Haramis. Rashak Shem, Ze, Hoya Noig, Besof, Haramis, the word Deroima. Gami Tachet, that's Unkelus, Deroim, Hu Hashem, Oikari, Vinegev, and Taimon. Haim Kinuim, Haim Kinuim Negev. Al Shem Shehi Minugeves Mikol. It's Minugav. It's dry Mikol Tov. V'teimon Al Shem Shibitzad Yemin. All right. So over here is something very important. Very important principle over here in Judaism. There are three words for the south. South. Go down to Mexico. Go to the southern border. Arizona. Where else? Texas. What else on the south? Florida. You go down to the south border of America, there are three different words to describe the south. Doroim, Negev, and Teimon. Now why do we use these three words? So he says, so the word Teimon comes, we learned this in the morning in Tilim. And we learned in the morning the word Teimon is the word Yemin. Because if you're facing the east, when you face the east, because the sun rises in the east, okay, that's your point of focus. then to the left is north, and to the right is south. So the word Teiman really means min, yimin, yimin. Somehow the tav turns, the yud turns into a tav. So that's one word for the south. Other word, negba, it's nogev, which means it's dry. It's dry. Means that it's noguv mikol toiv. That's what he says over here. That the reason why the south is called negba is because it's lacking from all blessing. He writes over here the word negba is. Negev al shem shi minu geves mikol toiv. Mayor, you're an Israeli, or at least you. I don't know. You identify as an Israeli. I think you do. Do you? Do you identify as an Israeli mayor? Are you an Israeli citizen? No. You speak Hebrew. You're married to an Israeli, right? Correct.
What
should
I tell
you? So what? Reingefallen. Negev. So over here, it says over here, Negev. What does this word mean? It means over here that it's minugeves. Minugeves mikol. Minugeves. What's the translation, mate? What does it mean, minugeves? It's dried out. So the south is called the place that's.
We don't know that the Negev was dry. It could have been it was very fertile back then.
Okay, minu geves mikol tov. Over here, it says over here in the ink art, in Google means wiped out, wiped. Wiped. What do you mean wiped? I guess it means it's cleaned. Cleaned and wiped from all blessing, all tov. Why is that so? I don't know. He's quoting a chazal. So saying over here is that there are three words for the south. This word Negev, this is the word Teiman, and the word Doroim. So first he writes over the word Doroim is Aramaic. It is not Hebrew. In Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, there are only two words for the south. There is Teiman, which is really Yemin, Teiman, and Negev. Negev means it's a location in the world that's dry, that's been cleaned out from all good. There's nothing good down there. In the south, there's nothing. It's just hot, dried out, desert land. And number two, Teiman is, if you're facing east, then to your right is south. Now we have a new word, Doroim. Doroim, he says, is an Aramaic word. That's interpreted, therefore, what is that? That's why in the Pasuk, there's no word Doroim. It doesn't say Doroim. It says over here, Al-Lefas, Negba Seimana. Why does it say Negba Seimana? Both words mean exactly the same. So he's saying over here that that's a style of writing, repetition. Okay, there are a whole bunch of things in language where we basically repeat the same concept twice. A groyser gadol. You ever hear that before? This fellow, he's a groyser gadol. I don't know, there's a whole collection of words, doubles, a whole collection of words where you basically say the same exact thing twice in just different words. So here he's telling us that's exactly what it says in the Pasuk. It says here in the Pasuk, Negba, Seimana, two words which mean exactly the same thing in the style of writing. Now, what's interesting over here, he says something fascinating, that what about the Targum? In Targum, in Aramaic, when you talk about the south, there's no such thing as repeating it twice. You don't repeat, at least the south is not repeated twice. That's why in the Targum, when it talks about the south, it says, Doroima. And that's a third word. And he goes on to say further, the word Doroima is not Hebrew. It's Aramaic. So that's why in Hebrew it says, Negba Seimana. And Aramaic it says, Doroima. Aramaic word versus two Hebrew words. Now, why don't we repeat it twice in the Targum? Because that's not the style. In Targum, it's not the style to repeat something twice, not at least in this context. Now, here comes the big question. Where then did the Targum get the word Eivar? Once it already said the word Ruach, why did the Targum say the word Leruach Eivar Doroima? In the Pasuk, when we want to describe the side, it said the word Lif'as. When we want to describe the word Teimana, we said the word Doroima, or Negba Teimana Doroima. So why did the Targum add the word Evar? It says here, V'saved yos dapaya, l'mashkino, ashrin dapin, 20 dapin, l'ruach Evar. Just say, l'ruach doroima. Or say, l'Evar, Evar doroima. Why does the Targum repeat the word twice? The word Evar and the word Ruach seemingly mean the same exact thing. So it comes out as a very interesting, I don't know how you want to understand this, is that here the Torah is waxing poetic by repeating, by when describing the south, we have two words which mean exactly the same thing. The Targum can't wax poetic when it comes to the south because it only has one word in its arsenal to refer to the south, Doroim. But because the Pasuk decided to wax poetic, the Targum is going to wax poetic when it comes to the word Peah. And instead of just saying the word Evar, or just saying the word Ruach, the Targum has two words, Ruach Evar. Isn't that amazing? Is that the Targum over here is taking note that in this Pasuk, the Torah wanted to repeat or wanted to be poetic. And that's why it said Negba Semana. The Targum couldn't fulfill that in the way the Torah fulfilled it, because the Targum only has one word for the south, Negba Semana. So how then was the Targum able to wax poetic according to the directive of the Pasuk? And the answer is, well, I have in my vocabulary two words that can be, that translate the word Peah, the word Ruach and the word Evar. So he repeats Lefas Evar, Ruach Evar, and for Negba Semon, he has one word, Doroima. Okay, am I being clear? In other words, what I'm suggesting over here is that this is another very good case in point for our Sefer on the Targum. In that, if what we're saying over here is correct, the Targum is not just translating the Pasuk. He's also getting a message from the Pasuk and applying it in a unique way. In this Pasuk, we want to mention the side, we want to mention the south. But the Pasuk is also screaming out to you, be poetic in how you express this concept, that it's going to be the southern side. The way the Pasuk screamed out that it's being poetic, it repeated the word Negba Semana. The Targum, okay, I'll do the same thing. I'll translate the word side, I'll translate the word south, and I'll be poetic. But I can't be poetic in the way you, the Pasuk, are poetic, because I don't have two words available for the south. I only have one word available for the south. So the way I'm going to be poetic is I'm going to have two words for the side. A Ruach and an Evar. Rabbi Mordechai, hear what I'm saying? Okay, Mayor, you hear the Vart? You hear what's going on over here? Okay. He then points out over here one more piece of information, is that maybe really the word Doroim is a Hebrew word, because I think it does appear in Tanakh. It's not fun when you want to go inject into Tanakh, into Chumash, Aramaic words. If you have a way of learning a word as Hebrew, not Aramaic, then you want it to be Hebrew. Okay, we have that in Tillim a lot, is we have words, we don't know what they mean, and you look at the Mepharshim, some of the Mepharshim say that it's Aramaic, and some say it's Hebrew. And if you want to say it's Hebrew, you know you have to break some rules of grammar to make it fit. But that could be okay, because it's not a lechatchila to assume a word in Tanakh is Aramaic. Now, with that principle said, in his second interpretation here, in the Ma'at Tzori, he suggests that indeed there are three words for the south. There's Doroim, Teman, and Negba. The real word that defines the essence of the south is Doroim. And the other two words that describe the south are just borrowed descriptive words, like we explained. Negev, it's Minugeves Mikol. There's nothing there. It's just cactuses. There's nothing down there. It's hot. go down to the equator, it's just burning hot. And Taman, it's because when you're facing east, as your point of reference, then to your right is going to be the south. But the Shem Ha'etzem of the south is Doroim. All right, so we learned something here tonight. This is indeed very interesting. A new Yisoid in Targum, in what he did over here with the repetition of these two words. All right, now let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, pasuk Yutes. And they are here now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing for the very first time the Adonim. The Adonim have not yet been presented. Now we're going to introduce the Adonim for the very first time, because until now we're learning about the Kroshim, and the Kroshim have Yodayim, Yodos. And now, what are you going to do with those Yodos? So Yodos are going to be closed up by the Adonim. So Pasuk Chav says, Pasuk over here says, Pasuk Yitas, the Arboim Ad Neches, 40 sockets of silver. Taaseh, if you notice, we did not yet tell us that the Kroshim were plated with gold. That has yet to be mentioned. There's no mention yet that the Kroshim were gold. All it says, they were made from Atzei Shittim. And now, we have not yet learned about the gold. Now we're learning about standing them up. We're going to stand them up along the southern side, 20 Kroshim, which will equal 30 Amos in length. And we're going to have two Yodayim. And the Yodayim are now going to go into the Adonim. V'arboim ad nechesef ta'aseh tachas eshrim ha'koresh. Shnei Adonim tachas ha'keresh v'echadosh l'shtei Yodos. Two Kroshim, two Adonim under each keresh for the two Yodos, Yodosav. Again, according to Rashi, these Adonim were an Amatol, and they were hollow like sockets, and the Yodayim, they went into it. According to what we wanted to suggest yesterday in the Targum, that's not what it's all about. It doesn't tell us how tall they were. Maybe they were very thin. They were just basically a mount. For the Kroshim, you have the Adonim. The Adonim was like a foundation, and they had two like little indentations, like a little. They weren't hollow. According to the Targum, the Adonim were just like basically just like flat pieces of silver that were on the ground. They were pretty much flat. They weren't hollow, and there was maybe some type of indentation for a little pivot that came out of the Keresh that just kept them in place. Okay, it's incredible stuff over here. There's new stuff over here. We never learned the stuff. Okay, that's what does Rashi say? Rashi over here says the Pasuk Chav Yutes. There is no Rashi. How do you like that? Targum, what does the Targum over here say? Pasuk Yutes. The Arboim Samchin. He calls over here, look what he calls it. This is amazing. He calls the Adonim a support. That fits very well with our thesis that the Yodayim are not, it's not wood. It's not the leftover of the chiseled wood. But the Adonim is a flat piece of silver with a small indentation in the center in order to be a support for the Keresh. And that's why it's called Simochin. A smochin dichsaf ta'aved techois underneath our srin dapin, the twenty dapin. Today in the smochin techois dapa, two supports under one keresh dapachad. Latrein tsiroihi for the two pivots. Ushrein smochin techois dapa chadol. Latrein tsiroihi. Okay, a whole new way of looking at the Adonim. Now let's see what it says over here on the bottom over here. Samchin nikro kain lefish yakeresh nismachalof. Dab into our game ki l'shem ukroshim. Okay, good. Okay, next pasachof ulitzel amishkan hashenis lifas tzafoin. Now here we have something very interesting. What's interesting over here is that now we have a new vocabulary word, ulitzela. Now notice. In Pasuk Yudches, when we described the side, the southern side, we only had one word. Okay? Isn't this amazing? Meir Appeldorf, When it comes to the southern side, the way we describe the southern side is with the word peah. When it comes to the north side, there are two words employed by the pasuk to describe the north. Number one, ulitzela, and then it says lifas tsofin. And here, when we talk about the north, now it's getting interesting. Now I'm getting to understand what's going on in the Targum. Notice here, we're waxing poetic in pasuk chaf by having two words to describe the side, and one word to describe which side. Whereas in Pasuk Yudches, there were two words to describe the south and one word to describe the side. You see how the Targum now parallel that? So what does it say over in Rashi? Rashi over here, Pasuk Chaf, no Rashi on this. What does the Targum say? The Listar means the side Mashkna Tin Yana. The second, L'ruach. Isn't it over here? The Targum did not say L'ruach Avar. He did not say the second word, just L'ruach. He's inconsistent. Sipuna, north. Asrin Dapin. Let's see over here the side, over here on the page over here. Tenino, Loshen Zohar. Avot Selochi, Loshen Nekeva, Elastab, Loshen Atagim, Loshen Zohar. Okay, he doesn't say very much. We definitely over here have uncovered a mystery of creation. Because you see, in Pasuk Chaf, when we're describing the side, the Pasuk is using two words, Ulitzela, and the word Peah. In Pasuk Yudches, when we describe the side, we only use one word, Peah. But in Pasuk Yudches, when we describe the south, we use two words, Negba Semana. In Pasuk Chaf, when we describe the north, we only use one word, Targum. When it translates Pasuk Yudches and it comes to the word Peah, it uses two words. And for the north, the south, it uses one word. In Pasuk Chaf, he uses for the side two words, because the Pasuk uses two words. One word is Sitar, the Sitra Achra, the other side, Star and Ruach. He doesn't use the word he used before, Avar. And when it comes to the north, okay, that's normal, he says one word. There's definitely over here very deep, deep things going on over here. And also our thesis that the Adonim and the Yodayim of the Mishkan, the major machlokes Rashi and Ungulus. You tell this to a person, they'll look at you like you're from Mars. But if you look in the Targum, it seems the major machlokes Rashi and Ungulus, what exactly did the Adonim and the Yodayim of the Krushim look like? All right, time is up. I have another patient waiting in the hall here. I'm just joking. Okay. Just joking. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much for coming.
Male or female?
I'm reading this incredible book. It's such a good book. Rav Moshe Shapiro. Someone put out a book. Rav Moshe Shapiro. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's so good. He was such a great person. It's a mix. It's a mix. It's a very interesting mix. I never saw a book like this, a style like this. It's both. It's like it's about him, but everything about him is like they go through like divrei Torah concepts, and then they basically show. He goes on to show these stories, anecdotes. How he lived these concepts. It's an amazing book. No, not by art school. No. It just came out. Wallerstein is different. Wallerstein, that book was his personal shiurim on Torah anytime. Okay, right, but this is different. It's a different style. It's a very, very different style. But there, he writes there one story is that they were going to the Koisel, and there was a guy and someone who looked like, without question, was a female. It looked like you wouldn't even have a hava amina that this person was a female. And all of a sudden, they're walking with him. All of a sudden, he goes over to her and he hugs her. He gives her a big bear hug. And the Talmidim were in shock. What in the world is going on? And then, after looking closely, well, maybe he had to tell them, it's not a she, it's a he. And basically, this was someone that he helped very much. And he looks like a hippie. Just a hippie, like a shikul mashugana. And this guy is in the process of becoming a Baal Teshuva, whatever it is. And he's a Baal Teshuva, whatever it is. He looks as very long here, and he it looks like a girl, but it's not. It's really a male. Yeah, whatever. And basically, the way they write the story is that he knew exactly that people would be in shock. He didn't care. This was a man. And he spent time with this person, helping this person, and whatever help he needed. And he met him here, and he just wanted to say hello to him, and he hugged him, even though to the people who were looking, watching, they went out of their mind. Funny story, huh?
Tamari was 3 years old. I took him to the river of Sereba. He was a sea gang. She was a diver. She was wearing like a pants outfit she was wearing. And he kept on looking at her and saying, "Is that a boy? Is that a boy?"
So what'd you say?
No, he said it's a girl.
So I vaguely remember in the biography, I don't remember if it was Rav Steinman or it was Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I think it was Rav Steinman. So they had a discussion when they had them. They said, should like a little child wear a girl wear pants? So he was very machbid. He was very, very machbid. No, again, this is not the Minhag Olam. The Minhag Olam today. Even in the most from world, you know, they all wear pants. The girls all wear pants until they're whatever, until they, I don't know what age. They all wear pants. But in this circle, they were doing it also. They were wearing Eretz Yisrael, they were wearing pants. So he was very, I don't remember who this was. He was very upset. He says, no, a girl is a girl. She doesn't wear pants under any condition. So they said to him, but you don't understand. If she wears a skirt, it's not sneers. Because it's a little kid under 3 years old running around and is going to be sitting in a position that's not sneus. So it's more sneus for a child of this age who's a girl to wear pants than to wear a skirt. So he said no. He said I don't remember if Steinman or if Chaim. No, even though I hear what you're saying, a svara, a good svara. But that's still he held. I'm not. I'm sure the chaluk ideas on this. No question about it. Puk chazim amadvar. What I see, I don't see girls wearing skirts. But he's saying he held no. The tsura of a girl is not to. Oh, she's running around. She's a little teeny kid. She's running around. She's picking up her legs and azoy. Okay, that's a problem. But that's not an excuse that she should dress like a boy. That's what he said.
And a lot of Sephardi women and modern Orthodox.
Okay, I told us. I we know that. We know that. Look, we know that. I know that. I'm very familiar with that. I'm just saying over here, and certainly.
And you know, at Tamari, when they dress her up, they always put on tights. Big tights. And as soon as she comes over to the house, she sits down and takes them off. Take off, you know?
Okay. As I understand, in the world that I live in, the Haredi world, the girls are all wearing pants until they're, I don't know what age, 3-4 years old. I know, but I mean, this is it's an interesting look at what he said. He says a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. A girl should not be wearing pants.
So listen to this. One of the people who was riding in the kibbutz in the Zuchas Torah wanted to go out of the shelter to take off the laundry from the line. She didn't want the Arabs to see women's underwear hanging. Because they would assume they're women in the house and they would go crazy.
I hear. I hear. It's terrible
anyway,
stories.
You heard with the Argentina, I told you, right?
He wants to become, he's a Megayer after he's president.
Yeah, but he's a big chassid of the Rebbe.
So good.
And the day after he went to the Kaiso, the Israeli army fled to Argentina.
Well, so it's because he came. You think it's his tefillos that did it?
No, because of his
tefillos. And what about Klal Yisrael's tefillos? No one Klal Yisrael's davening for the soldiers, for the hostages?
Maybe his tefillos were more pure than a lot of
ours. How could you say, listen, how could you say such a thing? Certainly his
I don't know.
So don't say. So you don't know, you don't say. This is not a mahalach. You know it's not a mahalach talk like this. Yeah. Enoch and Ami, he has tefillos and halavai is very sincere. You see, but to say that because of his tefillos, that's why the Azure really come on. What's going to be with everyone else?
All right. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you for coming. Zay gesund.
That's what I mean. Like, she is too rough. If she couldn't be matzo with something else. Okay. Finish that part of the book. Okay. What is that from the puzzle? That it says in the puzzle that that's the kappa. Yeah, what does that mean? What does it mean? You change anything else this time?
Hi, how are you? Baruch Hashem.
How
Litvak,
right?
Rashavik
was
Litvak?
Where were they?
Polish or Litvak? Rashavik, a Gera. He was a Gera.
Lithuania. How many pictures of
Ashur with
it?
A lot.
I saw an interesting picture of him in
next time.
I have it on my phone. I'm in the Knesset Gedolah.
No, not the Knesset Gedolah. Somebody had a whole video I saw. He had a hotel. Some guy had a hotel. They did
they have a video of him?
Yeah, where did I see the clip?
I never saw the video of him.
Some yid had a hotel there.
Yeah.
And they did. He had a hotel. One of these places. And he was. They used to talk about the guy in the comments, and they always. I don't know the video or pictures. There was definitely a lot of pictures of him coming, walking in the street, and I was there.
Recently, this is a new thing?
He was very prominent. Look up a guy as a hotel, a Jewish hotel owner who owned the hotel.
I'm going to go look up.
Oh wow, how come I never? Look, okay. Look at that.
No, no, we have fun. No, I'm not gonna. Go. I'm not taking five.
It's not nice.
Listen, if you'll see me, if not, you'll get stuck. I'm not taking $10. I'm not looking for trouble. How are you? I just need to take care of something, okay? How are you? I have to do something very time sensitive. Okay. I got to take care of something immediately. It needs my immediate attention.
We're not going to be punished.
Okay. Rabbi Sholim is learning over here. We have the greatest tzaddik. We have kuf beis and a beis. We have to go very fast. Okay, turn our button.
Yes.
Second.
Oh, you went fast.
Turn our button. Okay. Second.
I'm sorry. Kuf beis. I'm
kuf beis and a beis. Today is daf kuf gimel. Today is 103. You know the significance of the number 103? I don't know what it is.
Where are you starting from?
Daf kuf beis on the beis.
From where?
From the second wide line. The second wide line.
Tadarabanan?
Yes. The most important thing we have to do now is we have to turn on the tape recorder because we can't.